All right, happy new year, guys. Happy 2021, and welcome back to another episode. I hope you had a fantastic new year. Hopefully you made the most of it. If you're living in the UK, there's probably not a lot you could do. So like most people, like me and our family, we stayed in. But yeah, it's pretty much all we can do right now, isn't it? So we've also had the news this week that we have moved into tier 4, which basically means we're in a kind of lockdown. I don't know why they don't just come out and say it. Essentially, tier 4 really is a bit of a lockdown. Things unfortunately at this time of recording aren't, it's not the best way of going into a new year. We have this new strain that we're dealing with, but hey, what else can we do? And this is one of the things I've been talking to our members about this week, is the one thing that we can do is we can focus on ourselves. We can always continue to focus on mastering you. So, and that's what this podcast is all about. And in this episode today, I thought it would be, this is another solo cast from me. The next couple of episodes will be. I just thought it'd be a really good time to start to share some of the lessons that I have learned, some of the wins and woes from 2020, and hopefully impart some help, advice, knowledge that will help you going into 2021. So that's why I'm calling this episode 2020 a year in review. So 20 practical lessons. So I think I will likely split this episode into two. I think 20 lessons, if I go into them deep enough, that's gonna be a long episode. So we'll split these up. And what I've done is I've kind of looked at some different categories. So lessons I've learned in different areas of my expertise. I'm not going to teach you anything on politics or something that I don't know that much about. So I'm going to be talking about nutrition. I'm going to share some lessons in business as well. So any business owners, hopefully that will help you guys as well. Mindset. And obviously fitness. Okay, so let's dive straight in. What I want to try and do as well with these lessons, because I've seen quite a few podcasts and people do stuff like this, and I think one of the things that I've always felt where people share like their top 20 or top 100 things is a lot of the stuff isn't that actionable. Yeah, it's just like really nice ideas rather than stuff that you can actually implement. So I've tried my best to make some of these lessons practical actions that you can actually take this year as well. So let's start with nutrition. I'll maybe jump around a little bit. I've got some notes in front of me, but I'll jump maybe around the categories to keep things a little bit interesting. But nutrition. So first up, one of my big lessons from this, and this is more from coaching people, but also on myself as well, is when it comes to trying to stop eating XYZ food or stop drinking XYZ drink, I think that in itself can be a bit of a red flag. So the first lesson is quit trying to avoid stuff in 2021. And focus on replacing it instead. Okay, so dead simple lesson. But basically, what I've found is we all have the inner child in us. And the moment someone like your personal trainer or someone like myself tells you, or even if you tell yourself that you've got to stop doing XYZ, the inner child comes out and basically rebels against that idea. You know, so if you're told, you know, stop eating sugar or stop drinking alcohol, that inner child kind of says, yeah, but I'm not going to do that. And so what I found that works far, far better for most people, and that includes myself as well, is actually to focus on what you're going to replace that habit or that input with. You know, so if you're really trying to cut down on, let's use alcohol as an example, because I know during the last 6 to 8 months, with all the stress that's been going on in the world, you know, alcohol's really gone up. If you look at the sales of alcohol, they've gone through the roof in some supermarkets. And it's no surprise, because alcohol acts as a really good way to numb the pain. And a lot of people are feeling a lot of pain these days, and they're feeling a lot of stress. So it's completely, firstly, if that's you and you've been drinking a little bit more than you know you should do, then don't be too hard on yourself. You know, it's a natural human instinct to want to relieve the pain. But rather than just say, right, I need to stop drinking, I need to go dry January. Yeah, fine. You know, if you feel like you can do that and you feel like you're ready for that challenge, I would 100% support your choice. But what I have found in coaching a lot of people is that thought process often sets themselves up to fail, because they say that they're going to go dry January, or they say they're not drinking this year or ever again, and then they have one bad slip up, and then what happens is they start to beat themselves up, because this great idea of not drinking anymore and not drinking or having a dry January is completely ruined, and you become a bit of a perfectionist, like a lot of people are. And then you just think, well, what's the hell? I can never do this. So instead, looking at what you can replace. I know when myself and my wife did a weird dry November, but basically we found some drinks, you know, that we really enjoyed. I mean, some of the non-alcoholic drinks are actually, I'll be honest, they're as expensive as a normal alcoholic beverage. However, you know, there are some really good ones. I've got some notes here. There's a brand called Three Spirit. They're probably on the higher priced bracket. But the thing about spending more is when you have the drink, you tend to sip it slower. So that works out really well. But the Three Spirit drink is absolutely gorgeous. It really is. It's a little bit like having a healthy whiskey. And it also has some herbs, and it has some ingredients that actually induce sleep. So there's a drink called Nightcap that I really enjoy. My wife absolutely loves it. You have that in like a whiskey glass with a bit of ice, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Maybe have some tonic water to make it last a bit longer, you know. And I would have that any night of the week over any alcoholic drink, you know, or as much anyway, you know. So when you can gain the same amount of enjoyment from another drink for the drink that you're having, then that makes sticking and committing to that habit so much easier. You know, I just had a consultation with someone not long ago, actually, and they really struggle to get water in their diet because they just find water really boring. So we went through loads of different waters that, you know, when you have a look at it, there are some really nice and tasty waters on the market. I think I've mentioned it quite a few times before. One of my favorite brands is Dash Water. Again, you're going to pay a little bit more, but it, you know, you can have a dash and it can really quench your thirst. And particularly with alcohol, a lot of people forget that, you know, those first few drinks are usually just to quench the thirst. You're not even really tasting the drink itself. So that could be anywhere between 200 to 500 calories that you're consuming, where you're not even engaging in the taste, which is crazy, right? So this idea, by the way, this lesson of don't avoid stuff, like this can work with food as well. So rather than saying, well, I'm not going to eat bread anymore, or I'm going to stop eating crisps, you know, well, you still need calories. So the question is, what other food could you have at that moment that you'd really enjoy? You know, and you can do this. There are so many ways and times where you could find swapses where you can literally save yourself hundreds of calories. And I mean, one of mine One of my recently in the winter months, I like to have a hot chocolate. Okay. But as we know, hot chocolate in the evening, you know, if going for any tasty brand, you're going to get a lot of sugar in there and you're going to get quite a lot of calories in there as well. So I use Icon Nutrition's Hibernate, which is like a casein protein hot chocolate. And so it's kind of like a protein shake. You can have it as a hot chocolate, but you can also have it as a like a mousse. But ultimately, the sugar's far lower than a normal hot chocolate. The protein's far higher, but also because it has casein protein in it, it helps do the work that protein does in a slower releasing way, which is what you want before bed, rather than like a whey protein or something like that. So I guess just to wrap up that first lesson, what I would say is look at some of the foods or drinks that you enjoy and look at, you know, why you enjoy them, and then look at what you could replace instead of them that would maybe save you on calories, but it wouldn't actually have any effect on your enjoyment on taste because you would still enjoy the process. Okay. let's go to a business category. So, okay. So diversity is key. So this probably isn't as, I don't know. Yeah, I suppose it is fairly practical. But I think one of the things that I found in business through this pandemic is if you own a business, I think the more diverse and the more different income streams you can have, the better. You know, hopefully we're not going to be hit with too many more pandemics after this one. But I think the one thing that you can be certain of in business is uncertainty. You know, things can always go wrong. Things can always throw curveballs at you that you just weren't expecting. So, you know, in my space of health and fitness, it doesn't mean that I'm going to set up a whole different business away from health and fitness. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to stay in what I am focused on. So I've made a few different decisions over the last 6 months to be a little bit more diverse in what we do. So we have like a meal prep service. We have a few supplements that we recommend. We have a network marketing side of the business now. We're also the big focus I'm going into in the new year. This is actually a first time I've shared this, but is in e-commerce as well. So I have a couple of ideas off the back of my own sort of struggle with my back issues, and I've had a few injuries over Christmas period that really made me think about a couple of products that I think will really be of value to the market. And I think any business owner, I think diversity is really key. So moving on to mindset next. So this would be what we're on, number three now. Okay, so choosing a failure you can learn from. So that's the lesson. Okay, and I'll expand on that. So I decided last year that I wanted to kind of push myself out there a little bit more and try more stuff that ultimately could lead in failure, but it wouldn't be a failure because there'd still be some positives to take from it, if that makes sense. Okay, so we call this, I actually did a whole podcast on this. I think it was probably one of the first episodes, and we called it the strategic byproduct. And that's a term from the strategic coach, Dan Sullivan. And he talks about nothing is a failure. Okay, it's because you can always gain something from it, even if it is a failure. So for me, this podcast was the thing that I decided I would be willing to fail at the podcast. So a failure would be that it just wasn't getting any traction at all and no one was listening and I wasn't enjoying it. That would be the failure. But I decided what would be the things that I would still make it worth it. What would be the things that I would still get enough out of it to give it a go? And I made a list of those things. So it would be the list included things like talking to people I wouldn't otherwise talk to, learning things I wouldn't normally learn. It will be making new connections, making new relationships, improving my own knowledge about different subjects, and also just improving my own performance in terms of being an interviewer and interviewing guests and being able to talk, you know, because that's obviously a skill in itself. And I feel like that was a really good choice. That was one of my biggest wins of 2020, was deciding that I was willing to fail at that that task of launching a podcast. Really didn't know what I was doing. In some ways, I still feel like I'm still really learning the basics now, you know. One thing I can tell you, and to anyone that's kind of maybe thinking, oh, I've got an idea for a podcast, maybe there's a topic that I'd really want to delve deep into, you know, if you're even thinking that, and you can set aside, you know, a couple of hours a week, then I would 100% go for it, because the byproducts of it, the people that you talk to, the relationships you make, and the feeling of kind of fulfillment in terms of creating some good content is huge, you know. And it's also something that's your legacy as well. So something that you know, it's going to be there forever. So that would be something to, I think that's a practical lesson as well. So if there's anything that you have been procrastinating on over the last few years, or if there's something that you really want to do, maybe there's like a performance based goal that you have. Maybe you want to run a marathon, or maybe you want to, you know, swim a certain distance, or maybe you've got some adventure ideas and you want to do some traveling, but you've been telling yourself that for whatever reason you can't do it. Well, okay, this is what you do. You write down all of the things that could come of actually trying to do it anyway. What are all the positives? Even if it doesn't work out, what are all the upsides? And then pit that against the biggest downside, and then make the decision as to whether you should go for it or not. Okay, and let me know how you go, and let me know what your goals are. I always like to know what people are aiming to achieve. Okay, now let's go to fitness. Okay, category of fitness. So weekly challenges, or challenges in general, are better than goals. Okay, so this is the time of year when everyone sets goals. So let me explain this lesson. And goals are great. I think everyone should set goals. But, and here's the big but, I think they're like the big thing. They're like the more, or more like the vision type. They're like the icing on the cake in a way. Okay, whereas like everyone wants practical things that they can actually do and see fast results on, because as we all know, when we see quick wins, we get a sense of achievement that builds momentum to keep going towards those goals. So if you can set like a 90 day or a 12 month goal, but if you have a couple of bad weeks, your motivation for those goals can diminish dramatically. And one of the things that I learned, one of the lessons through all of these lockdowns, at the first lockdown, I decided to do something I'd never done before, which we'd always done, like, you know, 6 week challenges. We'd always done maybe the odd week challenge, but I'd never done a daily challenge. And I decided, let's do a daily challenge. Let's do something during this time when it's going to be really difficult mentally and emotionally to stay positive. Let's do something that's just going to keep everyone focused and on track. And guess what? We're starting our daily challenge again with our members starting on Monday, because we're going back into we're in tier four, and we're going into a sense of like another lockdown. And why am I doing that? Well, because it really works. People get really motivated. All of our members have got really involved in these challenges. And many of them are just, you know, the key has been the simplicity. So a challenge one day might be something as simple as, you know, you got to do 10,000 steps and drink 2 liters of water. And that's your challenge of the day. You know, so it's quite a simple thing. Or today's challenge might be to complete 100 squats by 10 p.m. You know, again, dead simple. Not necessarily easy, but it's something simple enough to focus on. And the reason why I'm a big fan of like daily or weekly challenges now is because of that focus that it gives you. You know, like I said, if you are trying to lose weight and, you know, maybe you're monitoring your weight from week to week, but it doesn't go up or down, well, you know, that can affect your motivation. However, if you've done maybe like 3 or 4 out of the 7 challenges in a week, and you're going to feel really good about that, because life's more about just losing a few pounds on the scale. Life is, you know, there's far more to health and wellness than that. And some of our challenges have been to do with stuff that's completely off topic from just fitness. Some of the challenges have been to just do something as simple as take 5 minutes to do some diaphragmatic breathing, or try meditation for the first time, or read a chapter from a personal development book that's been sitting on your shelf for 6 months. You know, so these challenges can be as small or as large as you feel comfortable, but ultimately they should push you out of your comfort zone just that little bit. You know, so if there's one thing that I really recommend, and this is something you can definitely take action on this year, is to start setting yourself some daily challenges. Okay, or just join LPT and you can get involved in our own challenges. Okay, okay. Now, where are we at? That's 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I'm going to go to about 10. We'll go to about 8 to 10. So let's go back to nutrition. Okay, here's the lesson. Most people are only 3 habits away from transformation. Actually, I put 2 to 3 habits away. So this is something that I've kind of had a hunch for a few years, but last year, I was really kind of observing our members a lot more, and particularly observing the members that were really achieving some crazy feats. So our transformation of the year winner, for instance, in 2020, we had our online, for the first time ever, we had our online transformation of the year ceremony last week. And where we awarded Tony Ferrito from Kettering. He had lost, I think he's lost in rounds about 35, 40 pounds in just 12 weeks. Pretty impressive, right? And for him, the real big changer was just purely the movement aspect. Being, yes, he improved his nutrition and he improved what he ate, but ultimately, it was just getting moving. And, you know, he does his 3 LPT sessions a week, but then he's also been really dedicated to getting at least 45 to 60 minutes of cardio on his cross trainer at home on these non-training days with us. And just that one habit has just had pretty much quite a life-changing effect on him. And this is really important, because there's lots of people who I speak to who they feel like they've got so much to do and they've got such a big uphill sort of struggle to face, or uphill climb to reach where they want to get to, that they feel like they'll never get there. But if that is you, then I just want you to know that the likelihood is you're only probably 2 to 3 weekly habits or daily habits away from achieving a transformation. The other person that we had on the podcast recently, Phil Rysdale, you know, he shared on the podcast, really for him, again, it was just getting into that weekly routine of doing some form of exercise each day. So he has his step count that he aims for and his training sessions, but also for him, just focusing on his protein intake, you know, alone, that was just one huge habit change for his nutrition. So he wasn't focusing on exactly how many calories he was getting in each meal and each day. He wasn't focusing exactly on, you know, where every gram of carbohydrates or fats was coming from. He knew that if he was focusing on getting enough protein, if he was focusing on getting his steps in, and he was keeping his training regular, that will really work for him. And for most people, it really comes down to generally 2 to 3 habits. For a lot of people, it's hydration, so drinking lots of water, okay, because that helps detoxify the body. For a lot of people, getting that step count in, getting that movement, that regular movement in is absolutely key. But please, you know, if there's one lesson to take away, don't feel like this, you've got to completely change your life. You know, because the reason why most people are only 2 to 3 habits away is because a lot of these habits have what I call a multiplying effect on their results. You know, so for some people, it might be sleep. And just by focusing on that one habit of improving their sleep, so that might entail, that might sound simple, but that could entail changing 4 to 5 things each evening. So rather than watching, you know, TV before going to bed and looking at your phone and having blue light going into your visual system, which ultimately activates the sympathetic nervous system and wakes you up, you know, dimming down the screen or losing the screen altogether and reading a book or listening to an audiobook or a podcast instead, and that gives your body time to relax. Doing that, maybe also, you know, having supplementing with some like magnesium, avoiding alcohol before bed, avoiding caffeine, just those 2 to 3 habits, that means that that person could then get a good night's sleep, which means that they're going to wake up more refreshed, they're going to have more energy, which means if they're usually morning people to train, they're going to improve their chances of getting to the exercise done. And then because they're getting their exercise done, they have more energy throughout the day. They also eat better. And so as you can see, just by focusing on that one domino, it has like a domino effect on all the other habits. Okay, let's move on to another business category. So this is a lesson that I only really was sort of taught by my own business coach last year. In fact, He was talking about this in 2019 because he had predicted a crash anyway, not because of a pandemic, obviously, but he was predicting a crash of some sort, an economic crash, and he was really guiding us to all start saving for at least 6 months of operating cash in the bank. Now, I took his advice, and that was something that I was working towards. And we were pretty close to getting there. And I think that one strategy has been one of the key things that's helped us survive whilst many other gyms and businesses, you know, unfortunately haven't been able to continue because many businesses, they work on quite small margins. And, you know, having that extra cash in the bank for a rainy day, or more specifically for an economic crash or a pandemic, that has certainly helped keep my stress levels a little bit lower than they could have been. It's helped keep the confidence that we're going to come through this strongly and come out of this even stronger than ever before. So if you're a business and that's not a principle that you've ever sort of thought of before, maybe now's the time. It's definitely reinforced the importance for me, you know, longer term, is having at least Justin talks about having 6 to 12 months operating cash. My goal this year is to make sure we get to 6 months at least at both our facilities. And then after that, any extra profits after that, then we can look to grow the business further. And I think anyone, even if you don't own a business, I think, you know, operating cash in business basically means, you know, all of the costs that are entailed in operating a business. So your rent, you know, all of the software and tech stuff that you use, obviously your staff wages, your own wages, everything that you would need just to operate the business, but you had no income. But, you know, even if you don't have a business, having this same mindset in regards to just your own finances, I don't know whether you'd want 6 months worth, but I know Tony Robbins has always recommended saving at least 10% of your income monthly into like a little cash pot. And for a time to start thinking in those realms, I think it's probably now. So let's move on to mindset again. So let me have a look. Okay, here's one. So the lesson on mindset number two was never rely on hope. Okay, let me expand on this one. Now, this is probably slightly less of a practical action that you can take today. This is one or more of those like principle-based lessons. But what I find, and just listening to a lot of people's language, is too often people rely on what I call hope. So they'll say things like, oh, I really hope next year I'll lose the weight, or I really hope next year I'll get that promotion, or and they'll either say that to themselves on the quiet, or they'll actually say that to, you know, their friends or a coach like me when I'm asking them what their goals are. And, you know, one of the things that I have learned from studying the super successful and the super wealthy and is none of these people ever hope to achieve their goals. Okay, they always put a plan in place and commit to the result. And because the moment that you start hoping something was happen, basically you're giving yourself like a green card, a get out card to not achieving the result. Ultimately, if we're really honest with ourselves, if we're saying we hope to achieve something, we're basically saying we don't really, we're not committed enough to really going all in on it. Okay, so if you're telling yourself, well, you hope this year is going to be the year that you finally do something about your health and your fitness or your career or your business, then quit that language. Try and lose that word out of your vocabulary completely. Okay, and start taking the actions that are going to actually help make it happen. You know, get really specific with all of the things that need to happen. You know, break it down. So if you've got like a 90-day or 12-month goal, this is what we do with our LPT members, is we break that goal down into monthly, weekly, even daily habits and actions. Because that way, you're no longer hoping, you're actually setting the intention to make it happen. And sure, sometimes things will get in the way, like a pandemic. But, you know, if you've got all of the actions in place, you can always pivot, you can always make changes along the way. So you're not relying on hope, you're relying on yourself, and you're taking full responsibility to achieve that goal. Hope that helps. Fitness, let's go back to fitness. So I think one of the things I learned in 2020 was, I'll be honest, when the whole 10,000 step thing came out, like, you know, there were some studies done and that's why it caught some attention. I must admit, I kind of didn't really think about it much. I kind of felt like it was one of those fads. And I've really done a U-turn on that and I've changed my opinion on that. And I'd really think your step count matters. Not because, and it's not to do with the actual count or the actual number. I think there's more to it than that. I believe it's more about just the act of movement and getting people moving in the day and age where too often we're sitting down. You know, right now, too many people are maybe sitting down working, maybe they're furloughed and working from home. We need, and I think if there's one big positive that came out of having multiple lockdowns and, you know, it was the government's guideline that we can get out to walk. And I, like many people, just found that that was such a really important time. And that's why I think the step count matters, because getting out, you know, obviously dependent on where you live, but if you can get out and enjoy the countryside, get some fresh air, you know, just allow your brain and your mind to have a bit of a de-stress. Maybe, you know, taking the kids out, like we took the kids out for to let them use their new bikes that they got for Christmas. You know, you can have a bit of fun with it as well. I really think it's important. And I think One of the things that I personally am going to go and start doing this year, and I'm not going to hope to do it, I'm going to commit to do it, is I'm going to start really focusing on my weekly steps. I'm going to be aiming for that 70,000 a week step mark. And actually, that kind of links in with the next lesson on the list on fitness, in the fitness category, is aiming for weekly volume over perfection. Because, and I actually did a whole podcast on this. I think it's called, I can't remember what it's called. I'll put it in the show notes. It's something along the lines of weekly volume target. But again, the idea of the weekly volume target is whether it's monitoring your calories or your steps, or even the amount of sets you do for weight training, ultimately, the total volume is going to be more important than what you do on one day. Because, you know, we're always going to have a bad day. You're always going to have a day where you only do like 2,000 or 3,000 steps. You know, I've had that quite a lot in the last few weeks. Whereas if you're challenging yourself, and this goes back to setting yourself daily or weekly challenges, if you're challenging yourself to like a weekly target of 70,000, you know, obviously that averages out at 10,000 a day, then, you know, you've got plenty of room for like, you know, making up for a bad day. If you only do 7,000 one day, then you can do an extra 3,000 the next day. Or maybe after a month of doing it, your average weekly step count is only 50,000. Or maybe it's only 40,000. Well, that's a long way off. That's 30,000 steps away from your target. So then maybe just increase your target by 10,000 and go for 50,000 a week instead of 40,000 a week, and make that the new goal. But ultimately, it's not just about the steps. This is what I've come to find. It's about, you know, it's having some time for you. I quite like, you know, before my injury, I was actually getting my steps in by going for like a real long but slow jog. And I really enjoyed that because it's a good way of clearing your mind. You can listen to some music, listen to some audiobooks. I just like that time where you get to just kind of just allow your mind to sort of go free and think about all of the stuff that's going on and free your mind a little bit. So I think we're getting on for about 10. I'm going to have to count these up after the podcast because I've got 20 in total. Let's go back to business. So podcasting is fun, but way more time consuming than I thought. So that was one of my lessons. That's more of a statement than a lesson. But yeah, I didn't really realize how much time the podcast would take. I thought I would just do like 30 to 60 minute, you know, quick episode once a week, bam. But little did I know, there's quite a lot of editing going on. I had to hire a VA to help me out with some of it as well. And then obviously to actually promote it, you know, that takes a little bit of time to create the graphics and get them posted on the different social media accounts. So all in all, you are looking at sort of two to three at least hours or more a week, depending on how long the podcast is itself. I think the Dax Moy podcast was the winner for the longest podcast of the year, but that was rightly so because that was the one that I was really looking forward to all year. I think it was about 3 hours long. Hope you enjoyed that one, by the way. So yeah, if you are thinking about podcasting, then 100% go for it. If you've got a topic you want to talk about and you're really passionate about it, then it really is that easy. You can start with something as simple as Anchor and you can be on your way. You know, if you want to, you know, make a business out of it, you know, listen, I'm not qualified enough to give you advice on that yet. I'm just really doing this to share the message of holistic health and different ways to upgrade your life rather than just focusing on exercise and nutrition. So, let's get a couple more in, guys. And then in the second part of this, 20 lessons from 2020, I will share the rest. So let's go for another nutrition lesson. So you must have some form of measurement strategy for quantities. That is the lesson. Okay, you must have some form of measurement strategies for quantities. Now, this is for if you've got a specific goal, whether it's building muscle, you know, gaining weight, or whether it's losing weight. If you haven't got any form of measurement strategy, if you haven't got any way that you're going to monitor your intake, then don't expect amazing results. Okay, you need to have some form of measurement strategy. And there's different ways you can do this. You know, one simple way is you can actually, when you do your meal plan, is you can do it there and then. So you can work out how many calories are in the meals that you've planned out, and then simply decide if that meets your target or not. And then you might have to adjust the recipes within the meal plan. But then you just eat that meal plan. You follow that meal plan to the letter. And that will save you a lot of time because you won't need to measure everything out. You won't need to track your calories and track your macronutrients because you've already done it. You've already done the work. So that's one way of doing it. What we tend to do, we have a bit of a hierarchy at LPT. So the first thing that we get people to do is just really focus on whole foods, but also focus on what we call mindful eating. So we have the 80% rule, which is eating to 80% full. So that basically means eating to a point of satisfied, not stuffed. And that takes practice. You know, that sounds simple, but as we all know, if you're eating something really delicious, it's really easy to eat past the satisfied stage. You know, so I'm sure after Christmas, I know I definitely had some meals where I definitely went over the satisfied stage. But the satisfied stage basically equates to eating to the point where you could still go for a brisk walk without feeling a bit sick, or even a slow jog, you know. So hopefully that gives you a rough idea. But you need to be mindful when you're eating to actually know when you get to that point. Okay, and just doing that one thing regularly, that will give you a real sense of control around your quantities. And if you're eating good, clean whole foods and you're following that 80% rule, eating to 80% full, that doesn't mean eating 80% of your plate. That means eating to 8 satisfied, not stuffed. So you need to, if you're finding that you're going to have to leave food to get to that point, then you're probably serving up too much food. So you need to start cutting down on your portion sizes a little bit, okay? But having some form of measurement. Now, the second, after mindful eating, what we do is we get our clients to measure out their portions using what we call the calorie counting made simple guide, which is using your hand to measure out your portions. So for protein, you can literally use your palm of your hand to get a rough guesstimate on how much protein you're having at each meal. So for guys, that would be 2 palms of protein, okay, at each meal. For ladies, that would be 1 palm of protein. So if you think about like an egg, you know, you could probably, maybe for guys, you could probably get about 2 to 3 eggs, the equivalent of 2 palms of protein. Obviously, it depends how big your hands are. And then ladies, that'd be 1 palm of protein. Ultimately, you know, for protein, most of you, you're going to be looking at least 20, 30, maybe 40 grams of protein at each meal. Okay. And then we look at carbohydrates. So the carbohydrates, we use the rule of cup, and fats is the rule of thumb. Okay. Now, the last part, the more advanced strategy for measuring out your food is literally tracking your calories to the calorie. And we have an app that we use to do this for our clients, and we set them their calorie target and we set them their macronutrient target. And it's a little bit more advanced, but obviously, like anything, the more advanced we get, the more specific we get. So we can actually get them to exactly the calories that they need. The one big benefit to that strategy of tracking your quantities is you can implement what's known as a flexible dieting approach a bit easier. So what that would entail would be you might have 5 days, like Monday to Friday, where your calorie intake is a little bit lower, okay? But if you're going to have, let's say, like a treat meal on a Friday or Saturday where you're a bit more relaxed on your portions because you want to kind of not have a blowout, but you want to kind of enjoy yourself a bit more, then you would essentially save those calories up a little bit more. Yeah. So, you know, for a lady, it might be, you know, you're tracking at about 1500 calories a day, Monday to Friday. And then come Saturday or Sunday, you know, those calories go up to about 1800, for instance. That'd probably be a little bit more for most guys, but you get an idea. And our app is pretty cool because it allows us to actually adjust the calories for that as well. So, but the key takeaway there, guys, is you know, you can't manage what you don't measure. So if your goal this year is to lose some weight, make damn sure that you're actually using some form of measurement strategy to achieve your results. Okay. So I think on that note, I will leave it there. We'll go into part two with more lessons. Hopefully you've made a few notes. I think that's probably more than enough for you guys to get on with. I think that last one is probably going to be a big one for a lot of people listening. I think also the daily and weekly challenges, I think that will be a real big win for you if you start implementing that immediately. You know, and you can pick your own challenges out, you know, ones that maybe push yourself out the comfort zone just a little bit, but give you a focus, you know. And that's the key thing is what's going to keep you focused towards achieving your long-term goals. Because as we all know, everyone sets goals in the new year with big aspirations, but they make that mistake that I shared in the mindset category lesson, which is they hope that they're going to achieve the results and they don't actually put enough plans into a place to make it happen. So on that note, guys, have a great week. And stay healthy, stay safe, and I'm sure I will speak to you all soon in some way. If you want to speak to me directly, then make sure you jump into our free community group. It's called Mastering You, and the link for that will be in the show notes. Meanwhile, if you've enjoyed this episode or if you enjoy this podcast in general, please head on over to the Apple Podcasts section and give us a 5-star rating review. I had a notification just the other day that we've just got into the top 100 podcasts for alternative health. So that was a massive win. That was quite unexpected, but it kind of made me think, you know what, if we can get in the top 100, maybe we can get in the top 50. And who knows, by the end of the year, we could get in the top 10. So, you know, head on over to Apple Podcasts. Drop me a review. Tell me how much you love this content, how helpful it is, hopefully, to your life. And listen, if you have any topics or anything that you want me to cover, maybe it's someone you'd like me to interview, then pop that over to admin@lifestyle-pt.co.uk. Speak to you soon, guys. Take care.